Good morning. My name is Danielle, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the conference call. There will be a Q&A at the end of the call, and at this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Gillen.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I'm Jackie Gillen, President of Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety, and I appreciate all of you joining us this morning for this important press call about some important issues that are being debated right now on the Hill. We have a strong lineup of speakers who will be discussing the well-known and well-documented problem of truck driver fatigue and the anti-safety provisions in the transportation appropriations bills in the House and Senate. I just wanted to start by talking about the latest efforts in the House and Senate are just a few examples of this nonstop, relentless attack by trucking interests these past few years to repeal reasonable safety rules that protect the public and truck drivers. Let's just take a moment to quickly review the top legislative priorities of key trucking interests in the past year. They have repeatedly tried to kill the hours of service rule, giving truck drivers a weekend off. And they tried to do that not only at the federal level, but they've also tried to stop states from providing additional rest time. They want to hide the safety scores of unsafe trucking companies from the public. They continue to try to push to allow bigger and heavier trucks weighing 97,000 pounds and more on our road. They have spent millions of dollars lobbying to overturn state laws in 39 states to allow monster-sized trucks the size of an eight-story office building on our roads. And to add to the accurate description of truck driving as sweatshops on wheels, last year they tried to change the law to put teenagers, an age group with one of the worst driving records, behind the wheel of a big truck. And these are just a few of their assaults on safety, not even the comprehensive list. None of these industry proposals has had a congressional hearing or any kind of scientific review. And there's a reason for that, an important reason. Trucking interests and their friends in Congress know that they are unsafe, unsound, and unpopular proposals. Today, both the House and Senate are debating transportation spending bills, and both chambers continue with this assault on safety and include even more anti-truck safety provisions pushed by industry. Safety groups, families, and others are here to say no more sacrificing our safety to support your company profits. I'm now going to turn to Advocates Vice President of Governmental Affairs, Kathy Chase, who will give you a brief overview of what's happening today in Congress.
Thank you, Jackie. At 11:30 this morning, the House Appropriations Transportation Subcommittee will be marking up their version of the Federal Transportation Spending Bill, also known by the acronym the THUD Bill. This bill returns the federal hours of service rule for truck drivers back to the Bush administration rule, which allows excessively long hours for driving and meager hours for time off. The Bush rule did not require two nights off duty for rest and recovery after long hours of weekly driving and working, and allows for the unfettered use of the 34-hour restart, only one day and 10 hours off. The safety provisions requiring two nights off and restricting the use of the short rest break were part of the Obama rule and intended to address cumulative fatigue. The House THUD bill also includes a provision referred to as the Denham Amendment or the F4A Amendment that takes away the ability of states to address fatigue by providing additional rest breaks. This is a threat to the health, safety, and protection of truck drivers. As Jackie mentioned, for the third consecutive year, the Senate has included yet another attack on the Obama administration's hours of service rule. The Senate version also strips two safety provisions and creates a new cap of 73 hours of truck drivers' weekly driving hours. It's important to note that this cap does not include truck drivers' non-driving work time, such as loading and unloading their trucks. This new change will actually allow truck drivers to work 81 and a half hours in a week. And this is the solution proposed by Senator Susan Collins to address truck driver fatigue. On Monday, the Office of Management and Budget relayed the White House's strong opposition to the THUD bill currently on the Senate floor and objected to this anti-safety provision that once again repeals the hours of service rule put in place in 2011. Last night, Senators Blumenthal, Markey, and Booker introduced an amendment that restores the Obama rule with the two safety provisions. We urge the Senate to support this amendment today. We are not alone in this position. In a recent public opinion survey, 80% of those surveyed stated that Congress has no business increasing truck driving, working and driving hours. And they feel this way for good reason. In a crash involving a truck and a passenger car, 98% of the fatalities are occupants of the car. You all may know there have been some high-profile crashes which demonstrate these dangers, such as the New Jersey Turnpike crash in June of 2014 that killed comedian James McNair and seriously injured Tracy Morgan. And just 2 short weeks ago, there were 2 serious truck crashes which resulted in extensive destruction, but thankfully no deaths. In Nashville, Tennessee, a truck driver behind the wheel of a FedEx double trailer truck fell asleep on a busy highway and caused an 8-car pileup, including one car that caught on fire. Then in Charlotte, North Carolina, another tired trucker fell asleep, crashing his truck and dumping 50,000 pounds of potatoes all over the interstate. It is time for Congress to wake up and pay attention to the devastation and destruction happening on our roads. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks, Kathy. I'd now like to introduce our speakers who have joined us on the call this morning. You know, we often talk about the major problem of truck driver fatigue that puts truck drivers and public at risk. We'll now hear from individuals who know the real consequences and costs of fatigue crashes. Unfortunately, they don't have well-connected and well-paid lobbyists who have access to members of Congress writing these bills, but they do have their compelling stories about what happens when an exhausted truck driver falls asleep behind the wheel of a large rig. I'd first like to ask Daphne Iser of Lisbon, Maine, to speak. Daphne, have you joined us?
Yes, thanks, Jackie. Good morning. My name is Daphne Iser, and I'm from Lisbon, Maine. On October 10, 1993, a Walmart truck driver fell asleep at the wheel of his 80,000-pound rig and crashed into my son, Jeff, and his friends. As a result of this horrific crash, 4 beautiful teenagers, Jeff, Angie, Don Marie, and Katie, were killed. One friend, Linda, survived with serious permanent injuries. 5 families suffered incomparable personal loss as a result of a single tired trucker. After the crash, I founded Parents Against Tired Truckers to work with other families of truck crash victims and survivors to secure safety reforms that were so badly needed within the industry and to, you know, not to have other families going through what we have been going through and always will be. Unfortunately, PET has now been in existence for over 20 years, and the problem of truck driver fatigue is still a major cause of crashes. I look forward to the day when there are no more crashes, deaths, and injuries because truck drivers are being pushed beyond their limits. Unfortunately, one of the champions of corporate trucking interests who are working to repeal and roll back truck safety rules is Senator Susan Collins, my senator. She is doing everything she can to indulge, aid, and accommodate the trucking industry. She has put the trucking industry in the driver's seat to decide and write the safety rules of the road. For the 3rd consecutive year, she has inserted anti-safety language into an annual government spending bill to promote industry's profits, and the public is paying the price. This is special interest, backdoor politics at its very worst, and a major reason the public has lost confidence and trust in our elected officials. I urge Congress to reject the special interest anti-safety riders in the House and Senate transportation appropriation bills. Truck drivers need fewer, not more, hours behind the wheel, and they deserve a weekend off for rest and recovery. This spending bill should not be loaded down with industry handouts. I call on Congress, I urge Congress, to stop bearing special interest favors in spending bills while mothers like myself bury our children because of the trucking industry's greed. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Daphne. I don't know of anybody who has worked harder on this issue than Daphne and her husband, Steve, since their son was killed, and we really appreciate all you're doing. We will next hear from Craig and Kathy Park of Powder Springs, Georgia. Their daughter, Emily, was tragically killed in a crash in April of last year by a truck driver who had a history of falling asleep at the wheel. Emily was a nursing student at Georgia Southern University and was traveling with six of her friends to clinical rotations. Thank you very much, Craig and Kathy, for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning. On April 22nd of last year, our whole world was torn apart when our daughter Emily was killed in a crash by a truck driver with a history of falling asleep at the wheel. The truck driver was traveling almost 70 miles an hour when he ran over the top of Emily's car and the car in front of her. He did not brake, nor did he attempt to avoid the cars, which were stopped in traffic due to an earlier crash. Seven nursing students from Georgia Southern University were in those cars going to their last day of their clinical rotations for that semester. Our sweet Emily lost her life along with Abby Deloach, Caitlin Baggett, McKay Pittman, and Morgan Bass. Two other girls were seriously injured. These young ladies were committed to making the world a better place. Our communities must endure the loss of these young, dynamic women. The lives of seven families are forever changed because of this horrific crash. This crash was no accident. The driver has a history of falling asleep behind the wheel and crashing his rig. The trucking company delayed the start of his shift for over 9 hours due to maintenance issues with his rig. Consequently, his 14-hour work shift began after a 9-hour delay. 22 hours after his scheduled shift was supposed to begin, he plowed through stop traffic, clearly visible on the roadway. This crash should not have happened, and yet crashes like the one that killed our daughter will continue to happen if Congress passes the changes to the hours of service rule. The erosion of truck driver safety laws has impacted our lives, and what happened to us can happen to anyone. The public deserves to drive next to truck drivers who are alert and properly rested. When truck drivers are fatigued, the lives of everyone on the roads are put to risk. Today, we are calling on Congress to consider the safety of the traveling public as they debate these safety rollbacks. We must act to improve safety, not degrade it. Fatigue kills. Requiring truck drivers to work hours that perpetuate fatigue will lead to more horrific crashes like the ones that killed Emily. We hope that our message is heard loud and clear by the lawmakers who represent us so that no other family has to experience this type of loss. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig, for sharing your story, and we're so sorry for your loss. I'd like to next ask Trooper Douglas Balder of the Illinois State Police to speak. I think that as a group, no one more than law enforcement sees every day the need to have really strong rules of the road, as well as to ensure that the truck drivers that are driving these speeds and carrying these heavy loads are rested and are able to drive in traffic. And really, it's a very challenging profession. Trooper Balder was in a crash himself, and I'll let him tell you about it. And we're so appreciative of your joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Douglas Balder from Oswego, Illinois. I have been an Illinois State Trooper since 2007. I am also a Master Chief in the United States Navy Reserve for the past 21 years and have deployed three times since 9/11. On January 27th, 2014, my life was forever changed when a tractor-trailer driven by a fatigued driver slammed into my parked squad car. I was assisting a disabled tractor on the Ronald Reagan Memorial Tollway in Aurora, which is I-88, along with Vincent Petrella, a tollway assistant vehicle operator, when a second tractor-trailer slammed into my squad car at 63 miles per hour. The gas tank of my car exploded on impact, engulfing the car in flames. I was pushed off the road into a ditch. One of the three steel coils that were on the driver's flatbed came loose and struck the cab of the towing vehicle, killing Vincent Petrella. The impact caused me to lose consciousness. When I came to, the immediate feeling of being on fire is something I will never forget. I knew that if I were to survive, I needed to move quickly. I was able to escape my burning squad car through the passenger window and walk to the shoulder to seek help from others who were beginning to arrive on scene. I suffered multiple broken bones and third-degree burns to my entire left side of my body. I spent 3 months in a burn intensive care unit, followed by 9 months of rehab. My vocal cords have still not fully healed, and I have many issues with range of motion. It was later determined the driver had been on a marathon shift, driving 37 hours on just 2 hours of sleep. This crash not only changed my life, but my family, friends, and the surrounding community. While I am happy to report that I am now back to full duty for both the Illinois State Police and the Navy Reserve, every day I look at my body and I see a constant reminder of pain and suffering that will never go away. Truck drivers do not need to work more hours. They need to be mandated hours off in order to get rest, real rest. Data shows that this is not just a problem that is particular to several drivers, but an industry-wide issue. A staggering 65% of truck drivers reported being drowsy while driving, and 48% admitted to having fallen asleep while driving. Unfortunately, an alarming number of truck drivers falsify logs, which puts them over hours, causing them to often drive fatigued, and put those driving on the road at great risk when they fall asleep. It's also unfortunate that many companies overlook these log falsifications, and some even pressure drivers to do so. Considering this, along with the fact that 4 out of 5 Americans oppose increasing the amount of hours a truck driver can work, it is baffling that Congress is once again trying to do so. I continue to take to the road every day to do my part to protect the people and to ensure that law is upheld. I cannot do my job alone. I urge Congress to take necessary action to ensure our safety, not to put it further at risk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trooper Balder. I also want to thank you so much for joining us. I first learned about your horrific crash and your injuries and how you survived it when Senator Durbin, who is a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee, recounted your story at the committee last year. He uses that story a lot to show just how devastating truck driver fatigue is and how important it is to address it. Thank you very much. I'm now going to ask Kiana Davis of Savannah, Georgia to speak. Her wife, Jamila, was killed on her way home from work in Madison County, Alabama, just a little over 2 months ago. A fatigued driver who had fallen asleep at the wheel crossed over the median and crashed into her vehicle. Kiana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kiana Davis, and my wife, Jamila Davis, was killed in a truck crash caused by a fatigued driver. We had just moved to Huntsville, Alabama, only 1 week we were there. Jamila had gotten her dream job with the U.S. Postal Service. While she was on her way home from work one afternoon, a fatigued driver fell asleep at the wheel and hit Jamila's vehicle. The driver admitted to police that he passed out prior to driving through the median and hitting my wife head-on while on the wrong side of the road. We have 4 children whose lives will be forever changed and torn apart. Listed as the top most dangerous job by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, truck drivers' hours should not be increased for their safeties as well as others. I just want everyone to understand both sides are affected by this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kiana, for joining us, especially since this crash has been so recent And again, we commend you for standing up for on this issue and are sorry for your loss. Truck driver fatigue and victims of fatigue crashes are not just families who are sharing the road with big trucks. And this is an issue that concerns safety groups and many others, including truck drivers. They're out there on the road. They know what it's like to be driving big rigs, trying to operate them in really difficult traffic conditions, and the demands that are put upon them for unreasonable deadlines, and especially when we have an unreasonable Bush administration rule that wants to encourage more driving hours and, you know, reduce the rest hours. We're now going to hear from Dana Logan of Cedar Hill, Texas. Dana is a truck driver who survived a multiple vehicle truck crash that involved a fatigued truck driver. Thank you, Dana, so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Yes, my name is Dana Logan. I have been a commercial driver, driving as part of a tandem team for over 30 years with my husband, Tim. We both know all too well the devastation that can be caused by driver fatigue. In 2004, we were hit by a fatigued driver, which resulted in the deaths of five people, including two children. The crash occurred on a beautiful June evening. Tim and I were stopped in traffic on I-30 in Sulphur Springs, Texas. We heard a loud explosion, and our truck was suddenly shoved forward when a tractor trailer behind us failed to stop. Unfortunately, there was an SUV directly behind us. The impact caused the SUV's gas tank to explode and push the vehicle completely under our trailer. Two fathers and two children were decapitated. Our truck was pushed on top of an SUV in front of us, which was then shoved into the tractor trailer in front of it. Our trailer then caught on fire. An investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board of the deadly five-vehicle crash revealed that the driver who caused the crash had fallen asleep. When Tim tried to get the injured driver out of his truck, he asked him, "Did I hit something?" Those were his last words before he died. Fatigue is a... Can you finish? Right here. I'm going to let my husband finish.
Yes, fatigue is a major problem in our industry and often has a deadly consequence. Nearly 75% of all long-haul drivers have received an unrealistic tight delivery schedule, and nearly 40% of the long-haul truck drivers reported violating hours of service, the HOS rules, and as according to the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. As a driver, we both urge Congress to make changes to ensure that drivers are well-rested and not pushed beyond our limits. We deserve a safe working environment, and all of our motorists around us deserve to be driving next to safe, alert drivers. Increasing drivers' hours is not the answer to a deadly problem of driver fatigue.
Thank you so much, Tim and Dana, for sharing your story with us. I'd now like to turn to Joan Claybrook. Joan Claybrook is chair of Citizens for Reliable and Safe Highways, CRASH, which is part of the Truck Safety Coalition, and she is the former administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Joan is a longtime and relentless champion of truck safety and an expert on these issues. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you very much, Jackie, and I want to say to all of the people who have spoken how deeply grateful we are, because too often these decisions are made in Washington, D.C., based on lobbying by the special interests and not based on the real consequences of the policies that are being considered and adopted. As Yogi Berra once said, it's deja vu all over again. Another year, another appropriations bill, and another well-financed effort by powerful trucking interests to advance their economic agenda. For the third consecutive year, the Senate and House Appropriations Committees have put out a welcome mat for any rollbacks, repeals, revisions, and rejections of truck safety rules. It's corporate welfare for the trucking companies and corporate warfare on the public safety. The result will be more crashes caused by tired truckers and needless deaths and serious injuries of more innocent loved ones like those you've just heard. Yesterday, the National Transportation Safety Board released its findings on the Amtrak crash that tragically killed 8 people last year. Before this day is over, however, 10 people will be killed in truck crashes, and according to the National Transportation Safety Board, a third or more will involve truck driver fatigue. Before the year is over, approximately 4,000 people will die, and another 100,000 will be injured in truck crashes. And before Congress adjourns this session, a spending bill will pass that completely ignores the mounting death and destruction on our highways caused by big trucks driven by tired truckers. The Senate has an opportunity right now to stand with the public and say no to the trucking industry lobbyists. This is the week that the Senate and the House, by the way, are both working on these appropriations bills and are considering the truck provisions pushed by the lobbyists. The Senate can pass an amendment introduced last night by Senators Blumenthal, Markey, and Booker. I like to call their amendment, "Okay, we've had enough already," because the Blumenthal, Markey, Booker amendment would restore the Obama hours of service rule. This is a rule that was issued several years ago, and it gets rid of the industry's needless proposals for needless studies, so-called studies, actually. It eliminates arbitrary and dangerous caps that, in fact, increase driving hours, not cap them at a lower level. And it stops lobbyists from cutting backroom deals with their friends in Congress and restores an open and transparent regulatory process where everyone can participate. It returns us to a rule that is designed to seriously address fatigue, both in terms of setting reasonable limits on driving and working and giving truck drivers sufficient time off for rest and recovery. This appropriations process, it's important to understand, means that the public has no say whatsoever in the decisions that are being made. There are no public hearings. There's no opportunity to file comments to a docket. The agency in charge does not get a chance to review what the public thinks. This is all done behind closed doors, and all of a sudden there's a vote and the deal is done. This morning, the House Appropriations Subcommittee takes up their version of the fiscal year 2017 THUD appropriations bill. That's the one that includes Department of Transportation. Just like Senator Susan Collins, who has been pushing relentlessly for years these provisions that the trucking industry wants, Chairman Rogers and Subcommittee Chairman Diaz-Balart have let trucking interests include a provision that restores the George Bush hours of service rule. This rule was overturned twice by the U.S. Court of Appeals, which is the second highest court in the United States, and unanimously by these courts, by these decisions. They were overturned because they were wrong, and the court recognized it, unfortunately, the Bush administration just kept reissuing the same or virtually the same rule to try and succeed. Because the excessively long driving hours and the ridiculously short rest hours that they included, they were not based on science, and the court understood and recognized this. So that was the only opportunity that really we've had to get a government official to point out the problems with this. When the Obama administration came in, it issued a new rule, which was much better than the Bush rule. We still want something more, but the Obama rule is the best that we have. Again, these members are willing to reinstate this rule that we know was causing truck drivers to fall asleep behind the wheel and be drowsy, the members who are representing the trucking industry. We are working with our allies on the House Appropriations Committee to strip the bill of the Hours of Service Amendment, as well as other anti-truck safety provisions loaded onto this bill. It seems to be a favorite opportunity for members of Congress to pay back the trucking industry for their support. The consequences of what Congress will do in the next few days have life and death impacts for families sharing the road with big trucks. We urge the Senate to adopt the Blumenthal-Markey-Booker Amendment, which reinstates the Obama rule, and we urge the House to strike the anti-safety provisions of their bill. And we urge Senator Susan Collins, who has been the major support system for the trucking industry, to meet with people who have talked here today and others like them, so perhaps she will begin to understand what it is, what the consequences are for the proposals that she makes and often gets adopted. Because as chair of the subcommittee, she has lots of money in this appropriations bill to allocate, and people don't want to fight with her because they don't want to lose the funding for their states. So we think that Senator Collins ought to start a new day herself and understand who she is harming with these proposals. Thank you very much to everybody for participating, and I'll turn it back to Jackie.
Thank you. We'll now open it for questions. If the press could please identify yourself and ask your question, that would be helpful. Thank you.
We will now open the call up for questions from the press. If you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. That's star one. Your first question comes from Paula Heeshan, Pocono Record. Your line is live.
Hi, this is Paula Heeshan from the Pocono Record. I heard the testimony from the one trucker, but I'm wondering what other truckers are saying. And did I understand correctly that there's been no testimony on this and that there will not be any kind of hearing on this that would involve truckers who might themselves want to testify and give some direct comment to our elected officials?
You're absolutely right. There's not been any congressional hearings on any of these proposals. And they started this attack 3 years ago. So it's not like they haven't had time in 3 years to have a hearing. And in fact, the other thing that they have done is they're slipping these provisions into these must-pass spending bills and completely circumventing and avoiding having to go through the authorizing committees. Any and all of these provisions should first go through the committees of jurisdiction, and they're not, because the trucking industry doesn't want to have hearings. They don't want to hear from truck drivers like Dana Logan. They don't want to hear from victims like Kiana Davis and the Clark family and Daphne and the others, because they know that if they do have testimony and they have the experts up there and the people affected, that they would see how illogical and insane these proposals are. As far as other truck drivers, the Teamsters are supporting our position, and they also don't want these special interest provisions slipped into bills. So you have law enforcement, you have safety groups, you have the victim, and you have truck drivers that are all united in saying this will make this unsafe. And in some cases, we even have some trucking companies that are opposed to going into Congress and trying to rewrite these complicated safety laws.
This is Joan Claybrook. I'd just like to add that the system that has been used to slip these provisions through is often we don't even see the content of the amendment, or it's put into in the subcommittee in the base bill. And you don't get to see that bill until they're actually doing the vote on it in the Senate or the House. So this level of secrecy is obviously intended to reduce any possibility of opposition as well. So it's very, very intentional. This is not just a happening. It's intentional.
Yes. In fact, yesterday, the House appropriators, the majority Republicans, released their bill. And it wasn't until the morning that anybody even saw the language, and yet this hours of service rollback was included in it. Over in the Senate, the same thing happened. They did not release the bill until hours before the markup, and nobody even knew this provision was slipped in there. Again, no hearings, no public review, no opportunity for the public to get involved, except for the few select trucking lobbyists that are in the back room writing these provisions for their friends in Congress.
Your next question comes from Doug Sword, CQ Roll Call. Your line is live.
Hello. Why is it you think that the changes you want to make in the Senate T-HUD bill will be made, given that you haven't been able to do so the last couple of years?
Well, Doug, we have always worked with these supporters, these senators, and I think we have to offer this amendment, and we're going to fight for it. I mean, if we only worked on issues that we won on, we probably wouldn't work on many at all. Last year they said the same thing on double 33s when it was in the House passed bill that was in the Senate bill. So, you know,
we won that one.
And we won it. Yeah, no, you're right. That's why I'm saying that, you know, we're going to fight this. We're going to continue it. I think that, you know, the members of Congress are feeling fatigued over having to deal with this. Every year the trucking industry comes back with a new proposal, a new idea to circumvent this rule. And I do think that, you know, the public's tired of it, the families are tired of it, and the senators are. And we hope that we will prevail and that these senators will say, okay, this is no way to, you know, draft this regulation, giving the trucking industry unfettered access to the appropriations bill.
This is Joan Claybrook. I would say one more thing, which is that Senator Collins, in her bill, put a what's called a cap of 73 hours of driving, which means that they actually can, drivers can be forced to drive up to 73 hours. And the administration has come out against that and said that it would be one consideration in vetoing this bill. And we understand that the House bill does not have it. And many senators are vehemently opposed to the that cap. So that's an example of where our opposition, we came out immediately in opposition to that. And our opposition, we think, has definitely influenced the process. And while we may not have a vote to take that particular thing out, we have actually succeeded in pretty much deep-sixing that.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Michael McHulf of Huffington Post. Your line is live.
Yeah, hi, folks. I just got two quick things. One is just a follow-up on what Doug asked. Do you have any senators, any of those three who you mentioned, who are, like, really willing to go to the mat on this and filibuster, et cetera, do whatever they can to stall what is also a must-pass bill, now with Tika in it? And the other is, could you just explain the Bush rule a little bit more, because I think probably a lot of us are hazy on those details.
As I said, I mean, right now we are working both on the House and Senate side, Mike, with our supporters. The amendment was just filed last night, and we're still kind of waiting to see what's happening over on the Senate floor. I know that there are a lot of non-transportation issues like Zika virus that is being debated. But, you know, we are hopeful that our supporters will go to the floor and go to Senator Collins and say enough is enough. On the House side, we know that the Democrats on the committee don't want any of these. In fact, I don't want to go out on a limb, but I'm, you know, I don't even think they saw the language much before it was released to the public. So we are, you know, working with our supporters. Last year, Minority Leader Pelosi was extremely helpful in keeping out the double 33 riders, as well as a lot of other things, anti-safety provisions. So, you know, it's still an early process right now, and we certainly have gotten the attention of a lot of our supporters out there, and we're hopeful that, you know, our press event today and the incredible stories that we're hearing are also going to help to energize our supporters out there to try to do all they can to strip it from the bill.
Well, I think you also asked, it was a little bit hard to hear you, about a filibuster, and I don't think that that's going to happen here in this particular case, because it's such a must-pass bill that a lot of senators, separate from the merits, don't want to stop the bill. So that's the disadvantage we have of having it on an appropriations bill, and it's the reason why the trucking industry likes to use an appropriations bill. In terms of the Bush rule was first issued in 2003, and it added a provision that allows, or not allows, but gave the opportunity for truck drivers to take off 34 hours, and it's called a 34-hour restart. And what it means is that that's equivalent to their weekend. We get like 62 hours as normal workers in America, but truck drivers are only getting 34 hours off. And I call that a really like a weekend or time off. And then after they take that, they can start driving these horrific hours all over again. And that's also the Bush rule increased from 10 to 11 hours, the number of hours that a truck driver can be required to drive in any day. And then, of course, there's an additional 3 hours that they can be required to work, which is like loading and unloading their truck. So it essentially had truck drivers been able to drive up to 77 hours in 7 days, despite there was the limit previously had been 60 hours. So we've been opposed to this for now over, I don't know, since 2003. Yeah, way over a decade. And we've sued three times. We've won the first two lawsuits. The third one, the Obama administration came in and said they'd like to take a crack at trying to amend it. They made two important changes, which is what the senators now want to go back to. But Susan Collins has been pushing to cut out the protections that the Obama administration put in. So that's a little bit of a long answer, but that's the history of the Bush rule.
This is Jackie. I just want to add, the issue of cumulative fatigue in the trucking industry is based on both the number of hours you spend working as well as the number of hours that you spend off-duty. And the Bush administration purposely came up with this 34-hour scheme in order to completely maximize the number of hours that a truck driver could drive and work. And there's a reason for that. Most truck drivers are paid by the mile. They're exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act, so they don't get paid overtime. And so it just only fed the effort to drive as fast and as far as you can and to increase the productivity of, you know, the trucking companies without having to put out any more money. So this is a real problem with this. And so, you know, what Susan Collins has done is, you know, she's taken this arbitrary cap that she put into the bill. It doesn't really – that she put into the Senate bill, cap of 73 hours. But nobody has done anything about extending the time off of truck drivers. You know, 1 day and 24 hours is not sufficient time. I mean, if you finished your driving – on a Friday afternoon, you could get back into, you know, your truck early Sunday morning and start driving again. So this is what's contributing to fatigue. It's only 1 day and 10 hours off with that 34 hours, and the research has shown that that is not sufficient time off for rest and recovery when you're working these hours week after week after week.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from Lauren Gardner from Politico.
Hi, I have two questions. One, to kind of build off of what everyone else has been asking, you know, with the veto threat, it was very open-ended and conditional, and this was mentioned as a concern. But I'm wondering what you've been hearing from the administration on this issue since this has been allowed to get through on omnibus bills in the last couple of years. Are they taking a stronger stance on it this time around? Have you sensed any kind of change? And two, Joan, you'd mentioned that other senators don't want to fight with Senator Collins because they're afraid of losing out on money in the spending bill for their states. Could you elaborate on that and maybe what you've heard from members on that concern?
Well, first, in terms of the veto, this is the first time ever that the administration has raised the issue of hours of service. Could someone mute their phone? This is background noise. This is the first time that the administration has actually raised this issue to this level. And, yes, we have been talking with them endlessly about the insane provisions in the Collins proposal. I mean, you know, let's just review that most people work 40 hours a week and get paid overtime if they go over that. Truck drivers have to work up to 70 some hours a week, and they get paid no overtime. So they're abused, and that's why it's so hard to recruit truck drivers, is because it's a really horrifically hard job, and it affects the health of a lot of people who are truck drivers, and so they leave. So we're very pleased that the administration has brought this up and heightened it. in their statement. And while we agree that no administration has ever, that I know of, with rare exception, said this is absolutely what we're going to do, this is a hint from the administration that they could veto this bill. And one of the issues that they are deeply concerned about was the Collins Amendment. In terms of members of Congress being concerned about losing projects and so on because Susan Collins is so intent on doing this, and she's chair of the subcommittee and has a lot of control over the money in the appropriations bill, I'm not going to reveal what members of Congress have told me because, you know, I don't want to hurt their confidences. But we know that this is a very traditional problem, which is if the subcommittee chairman, and by the way, in the House they're called cardinals, if that's just any hint of how much control and influence they have. If they really are angry at a member of Congress, they can take retribution, and there are lots of examples in the past where they have. So we just know that the power of the subcommittee chairman is very large, and Susan Collins has been an advocate for years of anti-safety provisions that the trucking industry wants.
And I just want to add, too, I mean, I think the fact that Senators Blumenthal, Markey, and Booker, who are members of the authorizing committee that should be reviewing this proposal of hours of service, have filed an amendment. As Joan said, it's okay enough already amendment. You know, we've gone through this 3 years. We still have a major problem with truck driver fatigue. None of these trucking industry proposals have seriously addressed that or solved that. And it's time that we stopped it and go back to the Obama rule. So I think that amendment coupled with the Obama administration's, you know, veto letter, I think sends a pretty loud signal that, you know, this is not the way public policy should be made, especially a public policy that is a life and death issue.
Your next question comes from Paula Heeshan, Pocono Record. Your line is live.
Hi, just to follow up on where our various elected officials stand, do you have information on individual states and what their congressional delegations' positions are on these issues? Because we've got Interstate 80 crossing right through our town that we serve, our community, and crossing the whole state of Pennsylvania. So trucking accidents are pretty common here already.
The answer is that in terms of how they vote, members of Congress do pay attention to others in their delegation, particularly in the same party. But they don't necessarily vote identically. And so, no, we do not have a state-by-state analysis of how every member of Congress would vote. Of course, we also don't know because the vote hasn't come up yet. But
yes.
we know how some are leaning. But
yeah, if you have any idea about anybody in Pennsylvania, maybe you could let me know.
Okay. We will.
Well, the chairman of the House Infrastructure Committee is Mr. Schuster, who is from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
It would certainly be worth your trying to ask him to help. He's a very powerful member of Congress, and he's very close to the trucking industry, so who knows. But
and this issue is really under the jurisdiction of his committee.
And it's his jurisdiction, but the Appropriations Committee has hijacked this issue and trying to ram it through on a must-pass bill that is highly unlikely to be filibustered because there's a lot of money in the bill for a lot of different districts across the country. And so it's the vehicle that the trucking industry chooses to get their provisions adopted. And there are members of Congress who can play a role in stopping it, and Congressman Schuster is definitely one of them.
We have no further questions in queue.
Thank you very much for joining us. If you have any follow-up questions, please contact Bill Braunrot. And again, thank you to all of our speakers today for participating from around the country. And we look forward to working with you on these issues. Bill Braunrot's number is 202-270-4444. 15, and I just want to close by thanking Daphne Iser, Craig and Kathy Clark, Trooper Balder, Kiana Davis, Dana Logan, and Joan Claybrook for participating this morning. Thank
and what
you.
Is your what is your webpage? What is your website?
Oh, yes, we'll have all of this materials on our website, www.saferoads.org. Again, www.saferoads.org. Thank you.
This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect your lines.